Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Webber at StuWebb.com, and it is Monday, February the 15th, 2021. And I have the honor to have Professor Paul on with me and Charlene, a nurse. Now, I just made a recording with Charlene, and we'll see if she would pick it up, because I want to talk about President's Day, folks. I want to talk about the presidents that we've had in my lifetime and what was before I was born, and how it was taken over, and who was probably all right, and then what we have today. So, with that said, I want to give a background of the presidents, but I want to give back to Charlene, because I had a recording going with her, and I tried to bring Paul into the telephone, and all of a sudden my phone froze up, and I couldn't hear either one of them. So we're starting this over again, but I may add that to it, but I hope Charlene covers all the subjects. Now, I brought her on initially, Paul, so I want to bring her on, and then we'll talk about the other presidents. But the one that supposedly is president of the United States today, Joe Biden, I want Charlene to explain him and his family's background activity and where you can go see it for yourself. With that said, Charlene, welcome.
He's disgusting. He has sex with his children. He's a pedophile. You can go up on YouTube and watch videos of him molesting children while he was vice president at Obama's White House. There's a video of him telling a little 13-year-old girl that she makes him horny. He goes, "You know how horny I am to stand next to a 13-year-old? You should ask my daughter about the videos after you make." He's such a great person, you know? And you got his son, Hunter Biden. You can go watch the videos up on G-News of him smoking crack and getting foot jobs and anal sex and his sister, Ashley, up on Pornhub. He's another great example of the great American White House family. Yeah, the first family. You got his sister. She's proud. She knows she's being filmed, anally being anal sex by her brother, and she's turning and smiling at the camera while he's filming her having anal sex. These people are trifling. I thought Obama was mad, being a homosexual and a tranny for a first lady. But these people are disgusting. We have a bunch of pedophiles up in the White House who have group sex together, and they're all on drugs.
Now, he had two sons, one Hunter and then this other one, and the other one was dishonorably discharged from the military because he was on drugs, what you had said, reportedly cocaine. Now,
yeah, he was on cocaine, and then he's supposed to have died while Obama was president. He died of brain cancer, and Hunter Biden was having sex with his wife. That was one of the women he got pregnant. Hunter Biden also has sex with his nieces. There's pictures of him naked, full frontal, nude, with his nieces in the background. So they're nasty. They're nasty. I don't know any people that have wanted to have sex with a child. These people are disgusting.
I mean, it was all over the internet. I didn't put it up on my site because I didn't want to be classified as a porn site.
This is what they wanted. They wanted this pedophile traitor, China Joe, up in the White House. So this is what they get.
Now, a lot of evidence can be found up there on YouTube still. I'd be removing it, but there's a place called G-News. You said that most of the videos were up there from the laptop and so forth?
Yeah. G-News.
Okay, folks. Anything else you want to add to it, Charlene?
No.
Okay, we're going to talk about presidents. I'm going to bring Paul in for this. I want to talk about the presidents of, you know, my lifetime were Eisenhower, Ford, since I was born in 54. Now, Truman was okay because my uncle knew him. My uncle was an engineer for Rockwell. They put the lunar landing. They did that. And Ed Slade also was involved with him, my scientist friend. I know it happens. Others say it didn't happen, but I know it happened. We've had saucers since 1952 when Eisenhower, which he was okay. and his great-granddaughter is out here speaking out about the fight we have with the battle of these fallen ones. And great, there's a couple links up on my site under breaking news. Now, he was okay, but he got forced into the alien agreement. And part of it was invisibility and saucers and all this that the aliens, which are the fallen angels, would give to us. So he got forced into it. And he got forced into it at a base, and they actually ate somebody. One of them shapeshifted and ate this person, started eating him. Blood, drinking blood. Blew everybody's mind. They didn't have the power to do anything because the aliens had more firepower. And they had a saucer. Well, they made a deal. So John Lear, my friend, test pilot, Area 51, lived in Las Vegas, still around, not doing any shows anymore. But his father owned Lear Jets, sold it in 52, and he started building the saucers in secret for the government. They made 150 of them. They're parked several places around the United States. One of them is north of Las Vegas. Also, west of Las Vegas is Groom Lake, and west of Las Vegas, or northwest, is Papoose Lake, Nevada, which is the true alien base. That's where Ed Slade worked. Now, that was what Eisenhower was stuck with, an agreement. Part of it was invisibility. And they were doing it, I believe, before Eisenhower. It might have been the Truman years. It was the Philadelphia experiment. Now, the guy who went through space-time at that time, I met him personally, Al Bielek, I think it was. I think that was his name. Over in Ohio someplace where I was doing a speech at the same event he was doing a speech. When a couple, 3,000 patriots come together and they'll have certain speakers. Well, I met him and he told me the whole story of him going through space-time. So it was real. And people, when they came back, the Philadelphia experiment is a movie out there you can watch. So watch it. It's, you know, it's like Independence Day, July the 4th. It's worth watching if you really look at it. Are we going to be doing that one of these days? Is it going to be a battle like that? There's a lot of truth in that movie of a lot of things. But Kennedy was okay, but he screwed up because he came up against him. And Bush was involved in killing Kennedy. George Herbert Walker Bush and the whole bit, because Ted Gunderson and his maid, became his maid in Las Vegas, should we say. She was the housemaid for the Murchison family. And they owned the Dallas Cowboys. Junior did. His father was CIA, all tied up with my ex-father-in-law, Leonard Millman, and Daddy Bush, which is George Herbert Walker Bush. And they had a big party house down there. His house, big ranch, and she was one of the maids to the place. He had about six staff on board at his house all the time. He had so much money. Now, that's where they had a big party the night they killed, or the night before they killed Kennedy. And she was there feeding them. And I'll tell you some of the names here in a minute. Next day, they come back and party at about 12:30, all coming around 1 o'clock after they murdered him. And they're all bragging and, oh yeah, we got him. And they're all drinking and they're getting worse and worse. And she's hearing all this shit. She sat there and told me. And I sat in Las Vegas and showed her the book, The Mafia, CIA, and George Bush, because the banana boy over there, Carl Linder, and Bush were in a banana boat together, and she recognized him. And Carl Linder was he was equivalent to a Larry Mizell for Millman and Bush. They had one running from the Mississippi East and the other Mississippi West, and Mizell was in charge of West, and Carl Linder, and it's in my crime chart, you can see it, was in charge of the East side. Now, they blew him away, and they had a big party. And here was Chichi Rodriguez, Chichi Quintero, Daddy Bush, Carl Linder, Richard Nixon, several of them. I forgot all the rest of the names, she told me. I was crapping. I was showing her pictures in you know, a few books I had to get it out of her. Well, Gunderson sat down there. Oh, yeah, I'm in charge of the the Merchant Estate. And Anna Mae was her name. And she was given $80,000 severance pay by Murchison when he died in cash. She deposited in the bank, or had it in the bank, deposited into the bank for her. into her account, which he used to pay her in as her severance pay. And she was an illegal from Ireland and had been here in the United States since the early 60s. And so anyway, she's telling me a whole story. The Gunderson cons her into $75,000 of the money because he's got this big case involving children, trafficking of children that he used to push to gain attention. One of them was the Finders documents he used to push. He wasn't the one that released those. That was Jimmy Rothstein, folks. I've had him on the air with me. He tells the truth. You can go to some of the interviews on the radio bar. He's kind of in bad condition right now. That's the reason I haven't put him on. Now, they murdered Kennedy. And here's Gunderson down there in charge of the estate. And he had a cellar underneath the house in Dallas, which is unusual. It takes a lot of money to do that because of the gumbo soil, etc. But he had one. And it was for all the steaks he could get around the world, the best of everything, the best of wines and liquor and all kinds of stuff. And he packed his basement with this. So Gunderson intentionally stayed down there, had his own little radio show on some network, and he was pushing his propaganda to the Patriots down there, inviting all of them over, and hell, they were having parties over there. 200-300 people once showed up over there, barbecuing and drinking all the liquor and everything. That's how he was trying. He was burning up all the stuff, trying to get the Patriots' attention, think he was okay. But he was a crook that stole the 75 grand from her, and she ended up in Las Vegas with $5,000 and moved in with him. And she's paying the rent for him. All of a sudden, out of her Social Security money, and all of a sudden, he got her Social Security. And she's an illegal alien, from Ireland. That's the story of what happened to Kennedy. And Bill McCoy, my buddy, who was everybody else's, he was a famous Iran-Contra investigator. He exposed the Private Tyree case involving FEMA and what they did, killing his wife, Ollie North and gang, and Iran-Contra. And he was worked with Al Martin, who his book I got published, The Conspirators. And he worked with, and I've known Al since 81 through Margie Sloan, that I got a contract with her for Time Magazine. She was the one that put the Mafia, CIA, and George Bush together. Anyway, McCoy represented Private Tyree, Terry Reid, Compromise, Clinton Bush, and CIA. You can still get his book. It's out there for sale. He just, you know, they stuck guns to his head. Several other people that were exposing these things. Bill McCoy had become an investigator for many high cases, including Innslaw, Bill Hamilton, which is now Intel computers that were stolen, controlled by Israeli firms, etc. Espionage, treason, sedition, with Daddy, of course, Bush. When he stole it from the Hamilton family. Dropped back doors, intelligence satellites all over the world. They got it all hooked up into one big bang. Now, you take the next presidents, it's Nixon, etc., and all the Watergate, and that was the Democrats were actually, as I recall, had gotten the evidence of them murdering Kennedy was part of it. Then you had Hildebeest, also known as Hillary Clinton, I call her Hildebeest. You had her on the Watergate investigation covering up. She got fired by the Watergate prosecutors, and it turned out to be the Watergate prosecutor. His daughter was the attorney that helped me. I'm trying to think of her name, would hook me up on radio shows when I was hiding from the FBI. I'd call her, and then she would call collect the radio station. And it was Archibald Cox. Phyllis Cox, she had to leave the country, folks, after she did damage to him with me in Silverado Savings and Loan and smashed him up. I have an interview, by the way, of the University of Missouri professor of law in Kansas City, Bill Black. I posted up, I think, last September, October on the radio bar. I had interviewed him, and he talked about how he couldn't get anything done. Now, he's the one to shut down Silverado in here. I'm the one to cause a scandal. Okay, long story. I'm giving a little history here. Then we have Ford covering up everything, all stooges from that point on. And here's Daddy Bush in 1975 as the CIA director, doing anything he wanted to do and bugging everybody. And if you go in, and I think it was, which documents. I'll have to post them with the show. I'll remember. The Cotola affidavits. Tells it all, where they bugged all these congressmen, senators, police departments, everybody, police chiefs. Oh, and then all of a sudden they need a favor and have Stu Webb illegally arrested. And they take a little blackmail over there and say, hey, we need him arrested illegally. We want you to do it. I'm not going to illegally arrest somebody. Oh, you aren't? And all of a sudden someone sets a picture down of him getting laid on his couch with the secretary and he's got a wife at home. All of a sudden he complies. That's how they did it. They compromised everybody. So then you got Daddy Bush of taking over, or you have Jimmy Carter, which the American people wanted something different, like they wanted something different with Donald Trump. And what did they get? Even Obama fooled a lot of them, something different. The black people got out and voted him in because they thought there would be change. And there wasn't. Even one black gal at a Lowe's one time told me, I said, do you see change? She says, no, he hadn't done anything for the black people. He didn't even do anything for any of us. I said, you're right about that. But here comes the fallen angel overthrowing Jimmy Carter, who was legally elected, who was blocked in, locked in, with stooges surrounding him, just like Trump was, didn't know what the fuck they really had on their hands. And they're infiltrators, and they're working for the bad guys. But they're advising them, like Kellyanne Conway, while her husband's over there creating a pact to impeach Trump. Oh, God. I mean, and she's the advisor to the president. He didn't see that? Fuck. Come on. I look at everything anymore. We've been stooged for a long time. Because you had Daddy Bush overthrow Carter with October surprise, the stealing of the 1980 election. And they did by flying over, and because Gunther Rusbacher and Dick Brennecke and Heinrich Rupp, Harry Rupp, good friend, they were the pilots who flew him over there in 1980 during the election to pay Bonnie Sadar a $40 million bribe to the Iranian president at the time to keep the hostages until the day that they are inaugurated, and then release them within 5 or 10 minutes. So he took the bribe. They got it from Valley Bank in Phoenix, Arizona, is where the money came from. And Michael Reconosciuto delivered the $40 million, and that's where attorneys for the Bureau of Land Management work. They get everything for 5 cents on the dollar for Larry Mizell and all of them on all this land that gets 95 cents on the dollar that other people are putting in competitive bids, but yet they don't get it. Like the Las Vegas Strip, you can look at the whole damn thing, everything around it. Bureau of Land Management, right back to those punks, stealing it from the United States of America. And here they're the ones paying to kick Carter out. But the big play was the admiral over there in the Gulf, who he decides to put two aircraft, one a helicopter and one an airplane, in the air on his own for Daddy Bush. There was someone inside or on that ship that was a United States Marine who happens to be a friend of mine. And he heard it all. Now, they crashed those helicopter and that airplane intentionally during that dust storm. And that was to put it off. And everybody would vote for Bush and Reagan. Well, Reagan got stuck with Bush at the Republican convention because of Bush's Zapata Oil, Penn's Oil Company of Houston, Texas, partner. I can't think of his name. J. Hugh Lickey. And they were the ones that invaded with the Zapata and the Barbara, the two boats that invaded Cuba during the Cuban Missile Crisis. They were the ones trying to cause World War III. Bam! That was the fallen angel, Daddy Bush, possessed human being. He enters the vice presidency and he creates to where William Casey said he robbed and looted the government and the people to where it's never going to end. And William Casey went to testify before Congress, and the morning he was going up there, Daddy Bush goes to his office, has two goons hold him down in his chair where he sticks a needle in his temple, which causes him a cerebral hemorrhage. Now, Otis Johnson Super Spook was there, my good friend, and you can hear a 18-minute conversation of him on the radio bar. It's the only thing I ever recorded of him, because they were trying to kill me, and him too. And he's talking about flying out to Bluffdale, the secret underground base again. Now, he was William Casey's assistant, direct assistant. There were two of them during Casey's period of time. Now, he's the one that saw in the old Navari, downtown Denver, Colorado, during the winter summer solstice, Daddy Bush, the rest of them drinking the blood of an infant, while Daddy Bush comes up to him, pulls his hood back after all, says, "I got to see your face, Mr. President, or Vice President, Mr. Bush," and he pulls his mask back, says, "What do you got, Otis?" He says, "I got to have this signed, blah, blah, blah." And then he said he signed it and everything, and he said, Otis looking around, he says, all of a sudden Bush says, "If you ever tell anybody what you've seen in here," he says, "I'll come personally kill you. You got that?" And he says, "Yes, sir." And he left. That's the reason I know about that incident of them drinking blood of infants and so forth. Now, he was Casey's direct assistant. He got murdered after he told me on the phone 2 months before, which means he was involved with the operation. He told me, he says, if Mueller doesn't do his job and prosecute Hildebeest, which he used to call her as well, for what she did to Trump in that fake dossier, he'll find his ass in a jail cell, Stu, I guarantee you. I said, okay, which meant he was involved. Now, he was working with General Flynn. With General Flynn. I put him on the airport when I remodeled his house, or it was not remodeling his, he got me another one down the street, is when I did his, or I think it was later on the other one. I put him at the airport with General Flynn up in Grand Island, Nebraska, where he picked him up, and they flew out to Bluffdale, Utah. He talks about going to Bluffdale again. I put him on the airplane, or took him to tarmac. He gets out, gets his luggage out, and he goes up and he salutes him. He salutes over towards, after he saluted Otis, he salutes towards me. I salute him back, drove off in Otis's Cadillac. Now, those are the kind of people I was locked up with, folks. 2,000 of these people, the guy that busted John Gotti, I was locked up with. Protective custody in Denver. Then I was locked up in a mental institution where the government said I shouldn't have been sent there, and there wasn't anything mentally the matter with me, where I met Bo Abbott, DEA pilot, got compromised, met Bob Hunt, Naval SEAL, Lieutenant Commander, on the tarmac when Daddy Bush got on an SR-71 and flew back from paying Bonnie Sadar. He was protecting him. Made another case, I got to know Gunther. He flew him over there. All these people I got to know at different times. And that was that 10.5 month time frame. And then they unloaded on me thereafter. Now, many books have been published because of that. While I was in jail, Defrauding America, there's a lot of stuff in there by Rodney Stitch. Drugging America, a lot of stuff. The Mafia, CIA, and George Bush was published. My name doesn't appear in it. Chicago and Silverado chapters are the ones I gave him. Al Martin gave him stuff in that book before he came public and published his book. He was the one that caused the Iran-Contra scandal after they were going to murder him. Now, 1,800 people of his level, accountants, were all murdered within about a 12-month period of time after he caused the scandal. He was squeezed by Stephen Dinnerstein. Dinnerstein became his private attorney, mentioned in his book, The Conspirators. Dinnerstein was only 3 people ever killed with a biochemical weapon of the United, developed by the United States government, and they used it on their own citizens. He was one of them because he blew the whistle on too much. And what it was a series of stories where he was down in Alabama and he's at some base down there where they're bringing in the latest weapons and they're selling them out on the black market for Daddy Bush right out of this military base. So I murdered him over it. I've come to know a lot of people. And this Daddy Bush comes into power. He takes over the economy of the United States. He has his drug partner, the Clintons, come in. The first lesbo in the White House, the first queer, maybe not. He was a queer. Daddy Bush was everything. He was demon possessed, or fallen angel possessed. And then you have the Clintons. They were all the Arkansas, Iran, Contra, the Chinese connection, selling secrets to Patrick Fung, the Worthington Bank, Little Rock, Arkansas group, supplying the Clintons with the, what comes out of China, Charlene? Paul?
What comes out of China?
Heroin? Is it heroin or cocaine? They were supplying the Clintons with that, supplying the Bushes, and they're drugging America. Now, drugging America, my name doesn't appear, but everybody that's in that book was in Springfield, Missouri with me. All these Iran-Contra people. I was down there with the general, a couple colonels, captains. I mean, they were all shut down. Daddy Bush had them all arrested on fake charges and saying they're mentally disturbed, they're claiming this, that. He had 5,000 people illegally arrested, including in that about 500 federal agents that they wanted shut up that were good guys. That was in 1992. I was working with Ross Perot, hiding from the FBI because of my ex-father-in-law, a terroristic death threat never occurred. Hey, by the way, you can go listen to the terroristic death threats. They're near the bottom of my radio bar. That's what got me locked up. But I was charged with that, and a judge screamed at the prosecutors for wasting $750,000 of the taxpayers' money and dismissed it with prejudice and told me I should seek counsel for a remedy. And he apologized on behalf of the court, on behalf of the government, of what I endured. Judge Richard Mace, nice guy. They killed his daughter. Killed his daughter because of one of the scandals I caused. And I didn't even know that. She was shoved in a volcano in Hawaii. I didn't know it till after I got out of jail and a spook told me about it. Up in Boulder. An attorney spook. Anyway. I've seen this takeover, and then George Jr. and their false flag, and they're taking the laser, the new latest, a bendable laser, the death ray, and blowing the towers down on 911, and blaming it on airplanes that didn't exist, and John Lear, the test pilot, CIA pilot, has already testified in court, and I've had him on before, but it's not on the radio bar, but... He testified that no airplanes hit the Twin Towers because he flew every aircraft that's ever been made, and he said the wings would have broke off in the tail sections, and it didn't. And what popped out that day on the face? There's a face, the devil's face, and I'll stick it up because I saw it the other day in my archives. Okay? It's there. Pops out, the second tower. It was just sent a sign, I think, you know, to the world that I'm here now, playing the game. And the towers melted. That's what's on every boat floating in the waters protecting America, the death ray, today. Aircraft carrier for fake news crap sitting out in the Gulf, Persian Gulf, to keep Iran at bay. But all over the world, we got these toys. They can cut aircraft carriers in half in 3 minutes. They're self-detecting. 50 airplanes attack it, it attacks back, goes to original source, destroys them with death ray. Can sit off Long Island, 300 miles off, and it can melt down all the three boroughs in New York, one in 3 hours, 300 miles away. Cuts aircraft carriers in half in 3 minutes. That's what floats all over the world, protecting the United States of America. That's our latest fleet, folks. We got 150 saucers out there, plus... We got all, that's the reason, all, if you go back, history of the past 2 to 2.5 years, all of our fleet was mothballed in Washington State. The new fleet of everything, the USS Missouri, I saw on TV and went to grab the picture off of one of the local TV stations and it was gone. Scrapped it off the internet. Oval shape, runs 200 miles an hour, only 8 people aboard. A diesel generator, 6 of them, can go all the way around the world before it refuels. Our latest toys. We got aircraft things that you have no idea with these saucers. The technology of melting you down with this 5G, 4G, 2G, watching you and hearing you and all this, it's come to that. To where we're... And look, I believe... Last real president we could have possibly had was Donald Trump. And it's because of what I knew Otis and General Flynn were doing. Otis gets killed, stonard to death. I'm calling him on his cell phone because I couldn't get him on his home phone. He's dying in bed at the VA in Omaha. He told me, he says, Stu, get him. I said, I'll try. 2 weeks later, General Flynn was illegally charged with the false charges that Sidney Powell got him off of. Now, everybody has his hope about the president, Trump, still being in power and all this other. There are Sidney on her site, sidneypowell.com, and on Linwood, Linwood, law.com, are their filings. And it's coming up, I believe, I was told the 19th is the date set before the Supreme Court. They will make the determination whether they're going to hear the case on that day. There's plenty of evidence in there. Also, MichaelJLindell.com, my pillow guy, has his evidence up there. I'm going to hook up links with this radio show today, inside the radio, or not inside, but inside the page, where everybody can click on them, as well as I'll put them near the top of the site. They need to be seen and heard so people really understand, yeah, we had a fraudulent election. And yeah, the powers that be that were before Donald Trump couldn't do it, folks. It's the surroundings. As Otis explains, Stu, Donald Trump is not evil. That's the reason I'm behind him. And I know that's the reason you're behind him. And he means well. That's what was said by Super Spook. Now, none of that came to reality. And here you got General Flynn over here working with Sidney Powell and stuff. The party may not be over with, but they're going to have to be in the Supreme Court. And right now, we got the evil one in power. The evil one. Charlene's describing well. Him and his family. And then you got the vice president that was slave owner in Jamaica, I think it was. Her father and her grandfather. White slave owners, by the way. Clear up to today even. From what I understand, she's an illegal alien, not even a citizen of the United States. She became a prostitute, and she worked her way through law school as a prostitute. That's Kamala Harris. I mean, we got the most evil of evil. And they got the big toys out here with G5, and now they're trying to vaccinate everybody so they can kill 2/3, in my opinion, of mankind. They're dying like flies after 2 weeks. Charlene read it. You can go hear the statistics right off the CDC website on the radio bar, folks. It disappeared off the CDC website 2 days after we aired it. And this is called President's Day, folks. When was the last president we had? I think they murdered him in 1963, Paul. Would you possibly be in agreement with me on that?
Well, I agree, or maybe Jimmy Carter? I think Kennedy tried to do what he could to eliminate the Federal Reserve and to smash the CIA. And I have no doubt that the FBI was on Bobby and his radar too. So by all accounts, I think Kennedy was the last legitimate president. I know we're short on time here. We're at minute 38 already, and we want to stay at 50 minutes or below. I just want to go back to Woodrow Wilson and start with him. Woodrow Wilson was an academic, Dr. Woodrow Wilson from Princeton University, and he was pretty full of himself, and I am not sure he knew what he was up against. And what Woodrow Wilson found was he was a very unhappy man at the end, and he also made comments about there is a force and a power in America and the world that none dare talk about beyond hushed tones. And essentially, he's talking about Psalm 2, and Psalm 2 holds true today, too. But the kings and the rulers of the earth, they conspire behind the scenes, and they run the show. What happened with Woodrow Wilson is he ran saying, I'm going to keep America out of the war. That would be World War I. What happened is Germany had already finished off its opponents, and they were willing to even agree to the conditions of the end of the war. And everything was set, and then Woodrow Wilson is told, you got to get America into the war, and he did. And that, of course, led to the Fort Riley flu, which really was about vaccines and dirty electricity. And that's really the real story about the so-called Spanish flu. But I want to back up on Woodrow Wilson for just a minute. 1913, Woodrow Wilson conspired with others to create the Federal Reserve. And when I talk about the downfall of America, when did America become a captured operation? That would be captured with a K. It really starts for me in 1913. If you want to argue, it's Civil War.
It was, if I may, for
Reconstruction 1871, when we no longer have a Constitution. And I want to close with that we no longer have a Constitution.
Well, Paul, I want to point something out. 1913 was significant because it was the turning over coin into money by our government to a private banking group called the Federal Reserve. But all the president has to appoint the head of the so they hit it that way, the head of the reserves. But they took over our banking. The second part they did, folks, was they made corporate income tax. But they also signed, a volunteer tax on Americans if they want to volunteer to pay income tax. It's illegal to pay income tax. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, the reason I want to bring up Woodrow Wilson is we have real good documentation that he was guilty of sedition and treason, and nothing happened to him for it.
Wasn't that during the J.P. Morgan time frame when he was alive pushing Tesla?
Yes. You've got a whole lot going on there, and what you really have is the convergence of the Second Industrial Revolution and the technology that accompanied it. And so you have a whole lot going on in that period. And then after Wilson, you have scandals. And you get from Harding to Hoover to Coolidge. And I want to just not talk about those, Teapot Dome and some of the scandals with the corruption there with a K. And go to FDR. FDR was no good guy. FDR was absolutely owned, controlled, and in on it with the big boys, the Psalm 2 boys, the kings, and the black magicians and the sorcerers and so forth. FDR did everything he was supposed to do. He was from a New York family, and they were connected with everyone else. And so you have FDR really admiring Mussolini and other, and Franco and so forth. So FDR was never a good guy, and FDR was around in the aftermath of the collapsing of the United States economy, the stock market crash. It actually happened under Silent Cal, Cal Coolidge, or maybe it's Hoover. But anyway, I want to move forward beyond FDR because he was really responsible for a bunch of double dealing, and he was the guy that, of course, was behind Pearl Harbor and the attack on Pearl Harbor to get us into World War II. World War I and World War II were really the same war. They just divide them up to one and two. And I don't want to go into too much detail except to say that he selected this guy who had no business being the Supreme General of the United States. And his name was Eisenhower. So how does Eisenhower get selected? Well, because somebody told FDR, that's who you're going to pick. And Eisenhower was selected because they could control him. They knew they couldn't control Patton. Patton actually wanted to go after the Soviet Union. Well, the Soviet Union was created to bring down America. And that's a big story right there. But I just want to point out that we're talking about presidents, and I want to make a point that FDR was a criminal with a K, he was corrupt with a K, and he was a kleptocrat just like everyone else. And just a slight correction, possibly, Hildebeest had nothing on Eleanor Roosevelt. In fact, while Hildebeest was in, Hilarity was in the White House, she used to communicate with the spirit of Eleanor Roosevelt, or so she said. It's unlikely that it was Eleanor Roosevelt. It was probably some either fallen being or demon of some sort. So Eleanor Roosevelt also had female lovers, and FDR likely did not have polio. In fact, probably what got FDR was syphilis. But moving into Harry Truman, Truman is a curious figure, and he was a Shriner, and I want to make this point about all the presidents, because once you see photographs of them, you'll know that they were inducted or indoctrinated or part of high-level Freemasonry, and Freemasonry, of course, is all about Osiris. But I want to just stop for just one minute to punctuate on what Truman did. So in 1947, you've got Israel created as a state, and Truman has all of his advisors in, and they just say, Mr. President, take your time, don't be in a hurry, let's be patient, let's not recognize Israel, it's going to cause a number of other problems for us. We've got to think through what's going to go on here. His aides leave, and within 10 minutes, he recognizes Israel.
And then Israel slaughters 40,000 Hebrews, called themselves Palestinians, and put them in mass graves, and put up a flag that looks like the satanic symbol. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you're right. And I'm trying to manage things linearly, and but also get to my point. So Truman is not necessarily a good guy. By all accounts, though, he was loyal to America, as loyal as any controlled president can be. And then now we're back in with Eisenhower. And Eisenhower did do something that was pretty, I think, impressive, and that was he wanted to know what was going on out there in Nevada, and he promised to get troops and go in there and actually figure out what are they doing out there in Nevada. And that, of course, got him some information, and then I think that put him in the position where he was negotiating directly with the fallen ones, and they come up with this treaty, a treaty that was violated by the aliens. Anyone that thinks that the aliens are playing fair, are going to play fair, is an unfounded optimist. But anyway, I just want to point out that Eisenhower had no business running World War II. And just take D-Day, 666. I mean, you know, it'd be at 6:06 at 6 a.m. And there was no reason for that, at that invasion. It was an occult sacrifice. But the thing about Truman and Eisenhower and everybody but Kennedy, and I don't have pictures of Carter wearing the Shriner hat, but the Shriner hat is pretty significant. And the reason it's significant is it tells you who these people are. And on that Shriner hat, you have the sword always. And then it's a fez, but there's always a sword. And that sword, of course, is to cut off the heads of anyone who believes either in Jesus or is loyal to the Constitution of the United States. So what you already have is these people are compromised, and they've got the goods on them. And I just want to pause briefly with the second Hoover. I know I talked about Herbert Hoover, but J. Edgar Hoover was really controlled by the mob. And you know about Bugsy Siegel because you have a family connection who took over for Bugsy Siegel. But the bigger point is that all of these people, and Charlie talked about it earlier, I wish she was still on with us because I did have a few questions for her. But what I want to really say is that they have compromised everyone. They've either bribed them, or they've extorted them, or they've blackmailed them, or they've incentivize these people so that they will go along with the New World Order agenda. I want to point out a really important testimony that happened in 1950. And so you got a nexus between Eisenhower and Truman, and they both absolutely knew about the testimony. And Paul Warburg, under oath in congressional testimony in 1950, said, by consent or conquest, America will be under the New World Order. And those words, I think, are very important. That testimony, and no one should ever forget it. And then, of course, you move forward, and Kennedy tries to stop it, basically. And I think everyone knows that, you know, you had about seven different teams working on the assassination of Kennedy. And why would you create all of these different units? Well, plausible deniability. You know, you accuse one team of, oh, you guys did it. Well, really, the CIA, the New World Order, the Cabal, the Illuminati, the Nosferatu, whatever name you want to have, and you've already identified the characters. I don't need to get into how many people were involved, but I think even some of the characters involved were a little bit surprised that there were so many teams that were assigned the same task. But
let me add something here, Paul. Yes. Bill McCoy, who was everybody's, you know, private investigator, and I came across him because of Margie Sloan and Al Martin was hiding from the FBI. But Ambrose Pritchard also wrote a book about the Clinton White House, and a great book. And he worked with Bill all the time. I got a document showing Hoover from Bill. Hoover, Daddy Bush of the CIA, who claimed he was never CIA, Hoover, and Defense Intelligence, all talking about the Kennedy murder in the Bay of Pigs. It's a very important document. I'll try to have it up with this program. But I think it was 2 months before Kennedy was murdered, Truman came and testified that he should have dismantled and the CIA, and he should have dismantled the CIA, he said. Now, that was the OSS, the Office of Strategic Services, which was created during World War II. And Daddy Bush was in it. My ex-witch that I was married to, his father, Leonard Millman, who, by the way, killed Bugsy Siegel to save his own ass because he was accounting on that hotel where Bugsy was taking the money and playing his Hollywood girls. And he went to the rest of the commission. Millman did. He was underneath Bugsy Siegel. Or underneath Meyer Lansky, both of them were.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Let me finish something real quick. But he killed Bugsy because Millman went to the other 11, the Council they call them, the Council of 13. There's 12 of them that are human, and there's one, the devil, who appears before them at certain times of certain sacrifices. Now, they are fallen angel possessed human beings. These 12. Now, Bugsy Siegel was one of them. If you work your way up and you're loyal to the commission, wow, you might get to be fallen angel possessed. I want to add something else about Leonard Millman. He was OSS with Daddy Bush, with Henry Kissinger, with others. He's in the book Defrauding America. I'm trying to think of his name. He went through the Springfield trip. He was a two-star general, landed an airplane full of cocaine intentionally to expose with Al Martin, Iran-Contra, was still alive in 1987, and they murdered him later on. But he wrote a book with another author, and they murdered that author. And it was I have to go back and think about it and try to put something up with the show. But Chichi Quantara, that was at the Canadian border going into the Canadian operation, was one of the ones that murdered Kennedy. Now, the actor, his son, the three hobos, his son is an actor, and I'm trying to think of his name. The three hobos were three shooters, one of them. My ex-father-in-law financed, let's see, they blamed it on Oswald, but what was the other guy's name that shot Oswald and killed him? Ruby.
Jack Ruby.
Millman financed Jack Ruby,
etc. And let's get Joffrey on and do part two on President's Day, because we're at 50 minutes.
Okay.
And we just need to close this one out.
Okay.
And let's start with the Kennedy assassination. And
sounds good.
And Joffrey can put on President's Day.
Okay. Now, Charlene, are you still with us? I thought the phone sounded like she was probably cut off. They're doing things with my phone in the past week, folks, that are bizarre. Okay. With that said, we'll close this down. And let's bring Joe in, because he called here a few minutes ago. And I'll say thank you, Paul. President's Day, folks, this is actually part one.
Yeah, I
Okay. I'll call you back.
From you soon.